Welcome to the studio, Cy. I was reading your bio online and some of the materials you sent me. You grew up on a farm, and I'm wondering how that inspired your creativity. And also, I understand you had a very strong relationship with God that inspired your work, too. So tell us about that.
I was born and raised on a farm close to McBain, Michigan. And which is close to Cadillac, if you don't know where McBain is. When I was a child, I would draw the horses and the cows and the chickens and the pigs and do things like that. I wasn't always real interested in doing farm work, but I was interested in the area and all the beautiful trees. And we had a little pond behind our barn. And every time I went to get the cows, it probably took me a little bit longer than what it should have. My dad would say, "What took you so long?" Well, I was studying the pollywogs and the turtles and things like that in the pond. So it would take a little while. I would sort of tell them that the cows were way in the back part. So other things also, being dependent on the rain and the dry and the sunshine when it's supposed to happen. We didn't have irrigation back then, and so we totally depended on the rain and the sunshine to get the crops growing into full bloom. Sometimes it would rain real hard when the harvest is almost ready to go, and it would flatten out all the wheat or the oats. Mm-hmm. And so that would ruin the crop. But if it was dry for a long season, then the crops would suffer. We learned to really depend on God, too.
So I've always thought that nature and a strong spiritual connection can be very important to being a creative person.
God created in me, I guess, the idea that I really wanted to be a creative person, wanted to paint, and that desire. So as long as I can remember, that's what I wanted to do.
Was there anybody else in the family who was in the arts, or you just kind of picked up that pencil and found that it was fun?
No one else that in my relation that was into the business at all. I had an uncle that kind of liked to draw a little bit. My youngest uncle, my dad's 14 kids. When we go visit Grandpa and Grandma, he was still around yet.
Yeah.
And when I was young, and so we would draw different things together. But he just stayed on the farm. He never went into that at all. I was really the first one of all my 70 cousins that went into art as a full-time thing.
So tell us how that artist's journey progressed, because at some point you made it to what was then called Kendall School of Design in Grand Rapids. Got a slightly different name now, but and how you got discovered.
After high school, I worked in Cadillac at the Chris Craft Company for about 6 months during the winter months, and that was quite common back then. They would hire the farmers because they knew the farmers wanted to work in the summertime in their farm. So they would make all the boats during the wintertime and then lay the farmers off in the summer. And
so
I went into that same routine.
Yeah.
After I was there for a while, a friend who was a house painter came to my house and said, one of the people that had working for me is retiring, and he's one that did like murals and churches and things like that. So he's wondering if I wanted to come and work for him and do those kinds of things. So I went to work for him.
Okay.
And then it became a very slow time, and I was laid off because I was the last one hired for him. And then my uncle in Grand Rapids was a builder, and he had a house that needed painting. And so
that's a different kind of painting, though.
Different kind of painting. But he said, come to Grand Rapids and give you some work. And so I went and lived with him and his wife for a while. And I painted houses for them, and then I just started my own business in Grand Rapids, painting houses. And I had another cousin that built houses also, and it just kind of went around. And I would talk people and do murals into their on their living room walls and things like that, but that wasn't really what I wanted to do all the time. I wanted to do that all the time and not just paint the walls.
Right, right.
So I decided to go to Kendall and see once if they would accept me.
Yeah.
And they did, and so I started there. A friend of mine who was working for me took over my business because it was hard for me to do that and go to Kendall
sure,
at the same
yeah.
time because Kendall was on a regular school basis where you go from 9 to 5 every during my middle year there. That's when disaster struck, and my grandfather and my wife and my father and my first wife's mother-in-law or stepmother passed away.
1961. That was a very tough year for you.
Yeah.
And at some point, you also, you taught, and one of those teaching jobs was over in Nigeria. You mentioned on your website that you learned more an appreciation for world cultures. I've often thought that being somewhere else, you also get to understand home better from a distance.
Yes, we really learned to have appreciation for what we had here in America.
Yeah.
We taught at, I taught at Kalamazoo Christian High for 9 years after I graduated from
right.
Western.
Yeah.
And then we went to Nigeria, which was partly a mission project also. And I taught art there. I taught classes that were 60 students to a class.
Wow.
With no
big
art
classes.
Materials and no nothing to do. No money.
That's the first lesson in creativity. Find materials.
Yes. Yeah, we had to find the old women that did the clay pots and all those things to find some clay. And so some of the students in the class knew where you could do that. So we did that. We had a man close to the school that made little hatchet-like things to do carving with, and this was a new school, so they had some old logs laying out there, and before they could confiscate them to use in the fires in the neighborhood, I confiscated some of those and cut them up so that we could have hunks, logs that were
for carving.
Things that, for carving, and I learned to put some blossoms together, color red or something, put them in water and boil it and, you know, make some colored water out of it.
Oh, my goodness.
Things like that.
A whole different kind of watercolor.
Yeah. It wasn't very long lasting, I don't think. But anyway, it made color and we could do things with it. We did a lot of drawing because we did have pencils and we did have paper.
At least.
So
yeah,
every time I went to Joss, which was 4 or 6 hours away to visit my children who are in school there, this principal would give me some money and I would buy all the art supplies that they had up there, which wasn't very many, much. And I had six of those classes a week.
Mm-hmm.
So you can imagine how many materials that took.
So how did you make it back to the States, to Kalamazoo? How did you come here?
Well, we kept our house here, so we rented it out while we were gone.
Okay.
We asked ourselves on the way back. We had no connections that we needed. So we said to each other, you know, do we want to live in Kalamazoo or do we want to live some other place? But with all the connections I had here and stuff with doing architectural renderings and things, we decided that because we had a house here too, we could just settle back here.
And
I could go into business for myself. I first tried to see if there were any places or any teaching jobs open in the Kalamazoo area, but there wasn't at that time. And we came back right in the middle of the year, right at the end of the year, actually. So it was in the middle of the winter.
And you worked as a commercial artist at some point, right?
Yes. I did a lot of architectural renderings while I was teaching before I went to Nigeria, because I learned how to do that with a professor that I had at Kendall, who moved to Kalamazoo and started a business here doing that, but he left. So I started doing that when I got back. I kept on doing that until, and I had a studio in the Park Trade Center for 20 years. And then after that time, I moved my studio back to my condo where I live, and I work from there. I have a storage space at the Kendall, at the Park Trade Center.
Is it still open on Art Hops?
The Park Trade Center is, yes.
Yeah.
And in September, I'm going to be in the gallery.
Yeah, that's where I've often viewed your work when I've gone on Art Hops. I think everybody in Kalamazoo enjoys Park Trade Center because it's got so many art galleries. And your work really sticks in certainly in my mind, and I think in many people's minds, for probably a couple of reasons. One is because it's just so colorful. It's just a delight to the eye. The other reason, and I'm curious to hear about that, when I look at your paintings, I feel like I'm flying because so many of them are aerial views. It's how the world looks from above. God's eye, you might say.
Yeah.
And I'm wondering why you choose that perspective so often. How do you get these paintings? Do you take photographs while you're up in a plane, or how does this process work?
Well, I have done a lot of traveling. My wife and I have gone to China almost a dozen times and to teach English there in the summertime. And I like to sit next to a window, and a lot of other people don't like it that I have my window open quite often, but I like to see what's down there. And of course, when you're flying that high, about all you can see is clouds and just gray areas down there anyway,
not much
color. So I like to think of myself as flying in a hot air balloon just over the treetops when it's getting to be about 5, 6, 7 o'clock in the evening in the summertime and beautiful days. The ground is much more colorful, and I like to exaggerate the color a little bit. It's not exactly realistic.
Hey, it's an artist's prerogative. But yeah, you find these beautiful patterns and patchworks and how when you're at a certain height, like quilts, you know, I would imagine, especially in the country where there's farm fields and different types of crops and seeing trees from the top. I mean, it's just beautiful. See, I imagined you in a Cessna all the time, but now I'll have to rethink and imagine you in a hot air balloon.
I've given a hint to my family several times to give me a ride in a hot air balloon, but it has never happened. But
family?
I can visualize myself in one of those.
Yeah.
I like how, you know, people have divided up all these land spaces, and mostly in squares and rectangles, but then there comes the river and the lakes. And in Michigan, if you're up in the air, I have flown with a friend of mine very low with a regular airplane, and I took a lot of photos on that, but I never used the photos. But anyway, I sometimes look through them and just to give me some ideas, but then you put them away. Yeah, I don't use the photos because I don't want to copy the colors, because I want to use my own color situation. So in Michigan, you're never more than about 5 miles from a river or lake, from water. Without putting that in one of my paintings is, you know, it just isn't Michigan. So that's why that's there.
How did you come to choose that perspective? It makes you unique. I think that's your trademark.
One of the things was that when I was flying in the air and looking down, I thought, you know, not many people have painted this.
Exactly.
And I think it would make neat paintings. And it wouldn't make such neat paintings, I don't think, if I just painted it like you see it or like a photograph of it.
But standing on the ground, yeah.
But I've had pilots come to me in my studio and say, man, you captured that. I wanted to take photos of this sunset or this area, and the photos came out, and it just wasn't like I remembered it. And you made it just like I remember it.
There you go.
So, who knows? But anyway, it's inspiring to me, and it's fun for me, and I love doing them.
You also participated in Art Prize once or more than once in Grand Rapids?
Twice.
Twice.
Yeah. The first one that I did, you can still see it in the DeVos place.
Okay.
It's still there. They bought it from me.
Nice.
And you have to go around on the west side of that big hallway and turn to your left, and you'll see it on the wall there.
We talked earlier about murals, but you've done some really large ones. There's a more than 2,000 square foot mural in the children's room at the library, Fantasy of Flight, and a 62,500 square foot mural in the Air Zoo.
Yeah, both of them are in the Air Zoo.
Oh, both of them are now in the... Oh, okay, the children's room in the Air Zoo. Got it. How is that different? I mean, I've always been, and I've talked to Conrad Kaufman about that too with the murals. When you're painting something that large, do you have to step back to get a perspective and then come back in again? How does that work?
Yes, you do have to step back every now and then to look at it. My mural in there is a little more detailed. Yeah, it took me 6 months to paint that.
That's a big job, yeah.
In the children's room, and I did the floor in my studio, and I did it on 34-inch panels, square panels, and did it 1/10 the size. And so it was photographed and blown up 10 times larger and printed on a fabric with epoxy. They put it on the floor and put epoxy over top of it.
Yeah.
And so it's down there now that way.
Oh, I see.
So a little stone that I painted was probably about half inch to an inch large, became probably about
a rock.
10 inches large.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, fascinating.
So all the blades of grass and everything is all much larger.
Have you gone up in any of the little planes that they offer at the Air Zoo? I got to do that once in the vintage planes.
Oh, no, I've never done
that. Yeah.
That would be fun.
Yeah. Thank you for coming in, Cy. I really appreciate it.
You're welcome.